Welcome in to Arrowhead Pride Radio.
And Mahomes is on fire!
Here's the editor-in-chief of Arrowhead Pride, Pete Sweeney and Dusty Likens.
All right, we're live. Pete Sweeney, Dusty Likens, Blake's in the house too. We got you till 7 o'clock, divisional round. Football talk. Is this the last Arrowhead Pride Radio? I don't think so. Others might not agree, but I don't think this is it. Well, I think we're going to keep riding this thing out because this team looks damn good. At least they've looked good the last few times they've all played together.
They looked good last week for sure.
I mean, I don't know what your standards are, but they looked really good last week.
I think defensively they looked outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if 2 of 6 in the red zone is going to cut it the rest of the postseason, but
yeah,
you can improve upon that this week. Right?
Yeah. I think the greatest thing I heard from the game last week, Arrowhead Pride Radio, 610 Sports Radio. We are on from 6 until 7. Don't forget, Yo Pete.
Yo Pete.
That's right. At 6:45, your questions, get them in. You might not get to talk to Pete again, at least on this show. So you got to treat every show like it's your last.
Where am I going?
Well, you might not be here next week if they don't win. And I don't want to say that. I don't want to spread that juju. I'm just saying, you gotta go every show like it's your last.
913-586-7610.
That's right. The thing that impressed me the most about the defense after last week's game against Miami, we've seen the videos where they're just absolutely just crushing Tyreek Hill at the line of scrimmage. McDuffie's audio postgame.
I know that play is going to haunt me for sure because, mm-hmm. like I said, I felt like that's why we didn't get that donut on that scoreboard. But, yeah, I think just not being able to find that ball. And when you're in that chase mode, you know, your heart's running. And I know, at least for me, I was like, all right, just take a penalty, then a touchdown. But I feel like that's one of the hardest things is just knowing where that ball is going to be because all you're focused on is just trying to get to the receiver.
They damn near played a perfect game.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that the second-year all-pro cornerback has to say is that's going to haunt me the rest of my life, giving up one touchdown, one score, and still like hungry and humble to just continue to be great. That to me is, that's a damn good thing to have on this team.
He wanted that donut. And
real quick, what's your favorite donut?
Mm. I like the double chocolate. I'm a big Dunkin' Donuts guy.
So I grew up with
double chocolate and Boston cream.
Boston.
And,
where did that come from?
And
Boston cream.
And for what it's worth, too, Sam McDowell, the Kansas City Star, brought donuts to the press room today.
Shout out Sammy.
Playoff don'ts.
All right. What'd you go with?
I didn't do it.
Good for you. I'm proud of you.
I wanted to.
Yeah.
Lamar's donuts.
Blake, what's your favorite donut?
So good.
Like type or
just a donut.
Place.
Just name a damn
just
donut.
A donut.
Well, if you have one donut the rest of your life, what is it?
I love a classic glaze. I'm also a crueler.
Traveling crooner?
Is it a grueler or a crueler?
Oh, you like a cronut.
No.
I don't know.
It's
south.
The roped ones. I also love a good caramel or chocolate Long John.
Do you ever have a RFD for Mentimans? Rich Frosted Donut?
Mm. Nah. I'm not really a donut guy. Delicious. But if I had to pick one.
Donuts are great.
I like the Long John, no inside cream.
Yeah.
You don't want cream in.
I don't like that surprise if they get the wrong one. It's like that Bavarian cream. Anyways, hangs up a donut is what they wanted. McDuffie still humble, still hungry. And then this defense just really, really just like the pat, like that damn near a perfect game. And just still not enough, still hungry. They want to shut you out.
Yeah, the thing that you like is just the dissatisfaction, especially since, you know, he was looking for that strawberry frosted.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're right, right? Like chasing perfection is what you want at this time of year. And, man, McDuffie is a good player. You know, you talk about how, you know, I think we constantly are talking about like, oh, the Chiefs should have did this in the draft. They should have did that in the draft. You know how many teams probably regret not going and getting Trent McDuffie? I mean, he got the first team all-pro nod here in his second year, and I think it's the first in many. I mean, he really looks like a good player. The Chiefs are fortunate they don't have to pay him for a little bit here.
Yeah, which is interesting because we can talk about that a little bit later on with all the defensive contracts that are going to be coming up or who's going to get signed, whatever you want to go with that. Another thing about this game that I kind of brought up with you earlier is we just talk a little bit about this Miami Dolphins game, and we'll move on to the injury report, obviously. But the Tyreek Hill thing, right? We could probably nip that in the bud. We don't have to worry about it anymore. Back and forth with Tyreek Hill. Obviously, you don't play the Dolphins next year They didn't win their division. You'll play Buffalo. You'll play the AFC North, and then you'll play the winner of the West, or not the West, but you'll play the winner of the South in Houston, and then play your division twice. We can go ahead and rest assured that the Tyreek Hill stuff is no longer there.
Yeah, I think the big thing that I think about with Hill is, like, he had an opportunity in the Germany to do something, and he completely fumbled the bag, and then he had the opportunity in this game, and he was able to get a touchdown, which, good for him, but I think he probably is leaving an unhappy camper, and I think this is kind of the end of that back and forth.
Sorry, couldn't get my mic on. I had to hit the wrong button. We are into the time of the night where we get into the injury report. One side, rather short. The other side, ooh, boy, I don't think you want to be Buffalo as we dive into the Arrowhead Pride injury report.
It's a new week in the NFL, which means it's time to take a look at the new injury report for the Chiefs.
All right, there's Blake on the baseline there, or maybe that's an electric guitar. I have no idea. I just talk sports. I don't play music. I wish I could. Pete Sweeney, let's go to you first here with the Chiefs injury report as it was out today. Chiefs obviously ahead of Buffalo. Buffalo a day behind with the short week they have. So sorry. What's on the Chiefs injury report worth noting?
Yeah, the big thing is no Derek Nnadi. And you're going to have a run stuffer in the middle to replace him if he can't go. Did not practice due to a tricep injury. But the Chiefs are largely healthy. Only three limited participants have practiced today. Kadarius Toney, Justin Ross, L'Jarius Sneed, Sky Moore returned to practice. And Dusty, when I tell you that I put this out there online and got a lot of comments back,
I can only imagine.
Were unhappy to hear that Sky Moore was back in the mix. But I think you should know that if Moore were to be activated, it would be more so, I think, at this stage in a complementary role than any kind of eating into the snaps. So we'll see. I did get to see him briefly at practice. I thought he was moving pretty well. So the Chiefs will have to activate him to the 53-man roster if he is going to play this weekend. But I think that still we'll see. I think Sneed will be fine. And then also we'll see on Toney and Ross, both limited participants. They were inactive this past week after being questionable heading into the game.
Was there any, like you said, the Derek Nnadi, anything behind that? Or is it just...
Just injured out of the game. And we'll see if he's able to get on the field this week, but no practice for him. Chiefs are way healthier than the Bills at this point. You know, you had kind of alluded to it. They have a ton of DNPs, did not practice.
Gabe Davis,
Leonard Floyd, Terrell Bernard, Von Miller, Baylen Spector, Christian Benford, Taylor Rapp, and Sam Martin, even the punter, unable to practice. Good news for them, Rasul Douglas was able to log a limited practice. Limited practices for Teron Johnson and Tyrell Dodson as well. Josh Allen is on the injury report. Full participant. Him and Micah Hyde are both dealing with neck issues. But a slew of question marks for the Buffalo Bills as Kansas City is really getting healthy at the right time.
No doubt. Gabe Davis, that's an interesting one. Because if you're going to ask Stephon Diggs to man up as a number one wide receiver with no help outside, I know that... They had the young kid in that game against Pittsburgh that had a pretty good game, but no
Shakir.
Yeah, he was pretty elite. But again, Trent McDuffie, L'Jarius Sneed, I'd take my chance with those two. Interesting though for the Chiefs. To Derek Nnadi, I don't like that.
No.
I don't.
Because
I don't
James
like
Cook
that.
Has been so good.
Yeah.
So
and especially right up the middle.
Right. Yeah, and I think that's no offense to Stephon Diggs at this stage, but I think they're living and dying by what James Cook can do. And so that's worth monitoring. Largely, though, the Chiefs are healthy. I mean, that's a positive heading into the game. Not that you ever root for that, but it's true. I mean, the advantage of on the injury report is immense at this stage. So,
and then with their linebackers being banged up, you got to think kind of the same vice versa for Isaiah Pacheco with him, the way that he runs. Who's going to stop that freight train?
Right. Yeah, I mean, similar to the Dolphins, the Bills have a ton of defensive injuries. And so... Mm-hmm. I think they're susceptible to some of the things that you saw against the Dolphins, the Chiefs work in that middle. The way they use Rashee Rice in these crossers was just outstanding. And then I think Travis Kelce can even get in the mix as Pacheco and Rice continue to prove it. And so that'll certainly be a matchup that I'm...
Who covers Travis Kelce in this game? You pull a corner down?
I mean,
you get Micah Hyde? Yeah.
You got a double.
Right.
You got a double. Until... you know, at a certain point, Rice does enough damage where he gets the extra attention. And right.
Then it's over.
All of a sudden, I think, you know, you might see Kelce have a big game. It's been a while since he had like a – his production was good last week. You know, don't get me wrong. But it's been a while since he's had a Kelce –
could have been more, too.
Kelce taking over type of game. Yeah, he had a couple drops. But
yeah, three.
One of these games, you're going to get that. And who knows? Maybe it'll be in Buffalo.
Vice versa question. Who covers Dalton Kincaid for the Chiefs? Is that a Justin Reed job? Is that a, hey, man, this is going to be their new target? Because he scares the absolute hell out of me.
They got two good tight ends. Dawson Knox was able to catch a touchdown as well. They got a lot of weapons. There's one thing, like, if you're a Bills fan going and you're trying to look for all the positives, the Bills' offensive weapons really outweigh the amount of weapons you trust for Kansas City right now, right? Like, they got a couple of receivers. They have James Cook. They have the two tight ends. Josh Allen can do it with his legs. So, I mean, if you're trying to think about some of the disadvantages for Kansas City, I'd put that. And it's going to be a test. You know, it's going to be another test for the defense. But look, you know, you did really well against Tyreek Hill. You take away that one big play that we were just talking about. What is he at? 9 yards in that game. Held Waddle under 40. The running backs were very impressive against everybody. Achan and Mostert this year were unable to do anything. So that's got to give you confidence if you're Kansas City.
Love it. Coming up on the other side is Ron Kopp Jr., the lead film analyst. Maybe he can dive into the matchups that I think are big on Buffalo's side and for the Chiefs with injuries that are reporting. Also, don't forget Alex Gold's That Betting Show comes up on the other side of this show from 7 until 8. That Betting Show, get your Goldilocks. You got a big divisional round coming up. You got a big, big slate of college basketball that I'm sure we'll get a little bit of attention, just a little bit of attention there. But coming up on the other side, Ron Kopp Jr., our lead film analyst over at Arrowhead Pride. For Pete Sweeney, I'm Dusty Likens, and Blake, you're listening to Arrowhead Pride Radio on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to Arrowhead Pride Radio with Pete Sweeney and Dusty Likens on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
That's right. Salmon, Brussels sprouts, and red wine. That's what I'm doing after this and listening to That Betting Show while I cook, I think. I'll probably give Alex a chance. I need a win. I haven't had a winner in a while.
You're giving him a chance?
Yeah.
Do you live in Kansas?
No. Oh. You know where I live.
Yeah.
Idiot.
Better do it while you're here, then.
Do it while you're here.
That's what they always say. Or they'll never come back. But somebody who's always coming back is Ron Kopp Jr., our lead film analyst at Arrowhead Pride. Mr. Ron Kopp Jr., how are you, sir, on this Wednesday evening?
Man, I'm great. I mean, we got Chiefs, one of the four teams left in the AFC. I mean, we're kind of used to it at this point, but still just as excited, I feel like, as any year. I mean, it's fun to have this matchup. You know, the Bills coming, being the matchup again. I'm fired up for it.
Final four, baby. The question I have for you, which I asked Pete kind of earlier, their tight end, Dalton Kincaid, a little scary to me, you know, especially with Dalton Knox on the other side. Just big-bodied, young, one of that fantastic rookie tight end class that's been drafted this year. What's the what's on the mind of Ron Kopp Jr. on how you would plan on stopping a guy like Dalton Kincaid?
The Chiefs are actually well set up compared to other teams when you look at where they're strong at positionally. Now, obviously, their defense this year is just, you know, overall very strong, but they've really stocked the linebacker group. And, you know, that is really who is going to be, you know, controlling that middle of the field, you know, where Dalton Schultz can get going. Dalton Kincaid can get going over the middle. You know, he is athletic, but, you know, that's why you have guys like Willie Gay. It's why you have guys like Drew Tranquil. Even Justin Reed obviously comes down and mans up tight ends a lot of times on pass downs. But, you know, when you're just talking about early downs, you're just talking about the flow of the game. You know, eliminating those big plays starts with the linebackers really just playing their coverage well, you know, squeezing throwing windows, and just not missing tackles. And guess what? The Chiefs have, you know, one of the better groups of linebackers in the NFL at doing all of those things. And especially when you consider the first time these two teams matched up, Tranquil was out and Nick Bolton was just coming back from his first injury, or not his first injury, that one injury that kept him out on IR. And now you're saying he had probably his career game last week. So you're talking about the linebackers at full strength at their best. So, yeah, I think when you look at that matchup specifically, man, the Chiefs linebackers are as ready as any team for it.
Ron, I heard a little trepidation in your voice. Are you thinking the Chiefs are able to pull this game off this weekend, or are you leaning into it being maybe a coin flip or even the other way?
No, I am confident, honestly. No, I you know, that trepidation was not meant for the Chiefs, because I am confident in what we got going and what the Chiefs have going into this game. It, honestly, it's kind of similar to last week, right? You look at what the opposition's defense is riddled with injuries, right, key positions. And, man, the Bills have gotten to a point where even their backups that were filling in for the starters originally that got hurt are now getting hurt. And so they are really banged up, especially in the back seven, you know, the linebacker, safeties, corners. Man, that is where the Chiefs can absolutely take advantage, you know, with guys like Travis Kelce, you know, manipulating people in zone coverages. We're seeing Rashee Rice, you know, now all of a sudden, you know, be able to do some of the same stuff that Kelce can, which is something I found really interesting about this last game, is that both of those guys are winning around over the middle or winning on those crossing routes that, that Mahomes is comfortable throwing to. And man, you know, that really takes advantage of linebackers that are a step slow because they're, you know, they're reading misdirection, or a safety that, you know, just maybe isn't as instinctual as the starting guy, right? And that's just all you need to have that step on a guy for Rice to, you know, take off for 30 yards or for Kelce to get open and find wiggle room for 20, right? So, yeah, I'm confident in the matchup specifically just because the Chiefs offense feels like they're in a rhythm right now, and I don't see Buffalo's defense being able to stop that rhythm.
Is it kind of the same mentality with the defense? I know last week it was be as physical as possible with the line of scrimmage because you've got speedsters that you don't want to get behind you. But this week, you know, you've got Stephon Diggs. I know Gabe Davis was on the injury report, but it seems like maybe kind of the same sort of system on this team, or is it more so like you've got to keep somebody that spied on Josh Allen because of his little fake kneel run, keep going to make sure he gets a couple extra yards? I don't know. Maybe that's just me being a biased Chiefs fan. I'm just saying it looked a little sketchy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you really got to be paying attention to Josh in the run game in terms of when he's dropping back, you know, maybe not even necessarily a spy, but, you know, you can't rush him like any other quarterback. You know, your defensive ends have to play with some sort of contain. You know, they do have to make sure they keep him, you know, within the pocket or just not let him easily break the pocket. But, you know, I really think it just comes down to open field tackling. I mean, if you watch this last game when the Bills played the Steelers, man, the Steelers just could not make a tackle for their life. And the biggest highlight of that was Khalil Shakur, the slot receiver, his last touchdown where, you know, it looked like he was going to the ground. Minkah Fitzpatrick wasn't able to corral him. He bends back up and runs in to kind of seal the game. If the Chiefs are one of the surest tackling teams in the NFL. Last week, they only had two missed tackles in the cold compared to the Dolphins 11. I think that's a huge key here is that, you know, as long as you wrap guys like Khalil Shakur up, you know, Stephon Diggs after the catch, but obviously Josh Allen, like you mentioned, if they can wrap him up, not let him get, you know, yards after contact like he did on that big run, even though, you know, he kind of, you know, he didn't get contacted too much because of that little fake slide, little juke, but shoot, he's going to do that kind of stuff, man. So Chiefs DB, you know, if I'm the Chiefs DB, Chiefs linebackers, I'm not waiting around for him to juke out. And I think we've seen them all year have that physical mindset. So I imagine they won't be playing too conservatively when Allen's running around.
This is Arrowhead Pride Radio. We're talking to our lead analyst at Arrowhead Pride, Ron Kopp. Ron, after the game the other night, as you usually do, you and your team, you produced our instant breakdown, and you gave the offensive player of the game to wide receiver Rashee Rice. What have you made with the way the Chiefs are using Rice these past couple weeks into the postseason here?
Well, it really is nice to see Rice be that main outlet for Mahomes against the blitz, and that's what you saw in the Dolphins game. Miami was sending heat. They sent pressure on 56%, or sent blitz, I should say, 56% of the time Mahomes was dropping back. And so he was constantly having to get rid of the ball quickly, get it to a guy in space. And the main guy that was benefiting from those really was Rashee Rice. You know, two of his biggest plays, you know, came on a blitz. And what he did very well on one of them specifically, I think it was the biggest play of his, he sets up, you know, okay, because the defensive back is picking him up from depth, right? So he is a safety, right, that is kind of coming up to pick up that slot receiver rather than a cornerback. And what Rice does really well is instead of just going right into his route and going full speed and kind of showing him where he's going, he kind of comes off vertically first, doesn't really tell him where he's going, then boom, now he angles to where he's going. That gives him that step behind and gets him that leverage to get past him and get that huge gain. It's stuff like that you probably don't expect a rookie to be doing that well. And it's stuff that, you know, I kind of mentioned earlier, it's stuff that Travis Kelce is known for being great at, and why him and Mahomes constantly just are unstoppable in big moments is because, you know, he's able to manipulate coverages and how they defend him. And shoot, if Rice is going to be the one kind of getting those single coverages, because Kelce is going to still be getting all that attention like he was in this past game too, Rice looks like right now he's taking advantage of it. So it is super encouraging and cool to see him win in some of the same ways Mahomes has hooked up with Kelce in the past.
It's Wednesday. We still have a few more days, Ron. Where are you at, juiced up already for this game?
Dude, I am super juiced because think about all the pressure on the Bills and coming into this moment. You know, I think the Chiefs are really playing with, and you know, the players obviously aren't going to be thinking about it like this, but just as a fan base, as a culture, just, you know, the house money you're playing with compared to what Buffalo has in terms of the pressure that if they lose again to Kansas City, even though they have the home field advantage this time and they still haven't won that Super Bowl, they still haven't even gotten there. I think there's a lot of pressure on Buffalo to get this done. And if you're the Chiefs, you can say, hey, we've won the Super Bowl. We've been there. We've gotten it the last two times. It's only a matter of time, especially now that you have home field. You know, there is that. Obviously, I don't want the players. None of the coaches should be thinking about that, right? But, man, that is interesting when you think about how much pressure and how much, you know, angst and anxiety is going to be in that building for Buffalo if the Chiefs do go up 7-0 or if the Chiefs do get that lead late. There's going to be a lot of pressure on this Buffalo team to get it done Sunday. And I'm kind of excited to see the Chiefs play that underdog spoiler role.
Ron, I know you're picking Kansas City. I can hear it in your voice. What's the final score?
Ooh, man, final score, Pete. This early in the week, I usually get till Friday.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to give
Wait. Before you give it, you're allowed to change for the website. I mean,
good.
If you want to see if Ron's score changed, check the website on Friday, Saturday. You know what I mean? But Ron, right now, what's your early feel on this thing?
Because my early feel is that it is going to be, you know, a little bit of a dog fight. Because I know I talked about the Bills' defensive injuries, but, you know, there's only this Chiefs offense. I say they're in a rhythm to an extent, right? We still saw them struggle in the red zone, struggle to make big plays down the field. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to see the Chiefs, you know, win a game like 24-21, 21-17 to that extent. I want to say 21-17. Let's go with that because I think the defense is going to step up and hold Buffalo down.
All right. We'll hold you to it. If you lose, you owe us money. I'm just kidding. I wouldn't do that to you on a Wednesday rough drafts prediction. But, Ron, thank you so much. We'll get through the five things to watch over at Arrowhead Pride. We'll look forward to your post-game remarks, whether it's a win or a loss. You'll be there. Thanks for being here every single Wednesday, and we hope you're back next Wednesday as we get to talk about an AFC championship game for a sixth consecutive year. Have a good night, my man.
Yes, sir. Appreciate y'all.
You bet. Ron Cobb Jr. That was Pete. The dog in the background. There's not a real dog in here.
It sounded
real. That's weird. There's a dog in here. What the hell? Yeah, the dog. All right. Well, Blake's on the other side. Pete's in here with me. I'm Dusty Likens. This is Arrowhead Pride Radio. Don't forget, Yo Pete. At 6:45 with your questions for the Arrowhead Pride mailbag. Coming up, we can talk about Buffalo. Why not? It's a pretty big game on Sunday at 5:30 here in Kansas City, but it'll be 6:30 or something there. Who knows what time zones are? This is Arrowhead Pride Radio on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to Arrowhead Pride Radio with Pete Sweeney and Dusty Likens on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
I'm a big believer that there are certain songs that you hear that no matter what you're doing, you could have just stubbed your toe from hell and back. You're not mad about it. I feel like this is one of those songs that, like, as soon as you hear that guitar riff, you're like, you know what? This is a good song.
You stubbed your toe recently?
Oh, every day, dude.
I did yesterday. Oh. And I'm telling you, I don't know if there was a song that could have played that would have made me feel good there.
Was it on the ottoman or on the corner of your couch?
I ordered a new recliner online, and I was building it. I dropped it on my foot.
Oh, that's not stubbing your toe.
Yeah,
that's dropping something on your foot.
Same thing.
Not really.
Yeah.
Dropping something on your foot, you have a little bit of anticipation. Stubbing your toe, it comes out of nowhere, and you say, like, funky butt loving out of nowhere.
I wouldn't say that.
I have I make my bed every morning.
No, you don't.
I swear to you, I do.
No, you don't.
I can give you my entire routine every morning. Julio doesn't believe me either, but it's the same routine every morning. But there's these, like...
What, are you in the military?
That's what everyone says, but no, absolutely not. If I was in the military,
I can see your beard right now.
What?
Can't have a beard in the military, right? Then you have to be clean shaven.
I don't know. That's how you know I'm not in the military. I have no idea what military rules are, but I respect them. Praise be to them.
Well, the first rule of the military is make your bed, so you know one of them.
Okay. But there's like these little like platforms in the middle of my bed. I know they're there. I know they're there. Mm-hmm. And I get the pinky on the right foot twice a week. Yeah. And luckily, there's enough space between my house and other houses. Yeah. That you can't, but I mean, it is the F word.
You're
with the possible, like, hard.
You're
F.
The rat in the maze that would end up crashing their head too many times into the wall.
I mean, I'll accept that.
You wouldn't be able to find the cheese.
That's fine. I still haven't found the cheese.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that I've found Arrowhead Pride Radio for 3 years in a row. Yeah. So far, the boss at Arrowhead Pride has
and
not,
counting.
Yeah.
Who's to say we're not going to do it together next year?
Who knows, man? Who knows? I might get way too famous. I really, really want to. Anyways, I'm just kidding.
Oh, my goodness.
But Buffalo Bills, man.
Yeah.
Right? The team before Cincinnati. The 13-second game, the AFC Championship game where Josh Allen showed his ass and started a fight in the middle of the field. And then here we are, a third time in a fourth year. And I want to bring this up, right? Chiefs are kind of playing the role of Cincinnati that Cincinnati played last year, right? Now, granted, Kansas City has not been to Buffalo since 1994, I believe, in the playoffs. And this is a team that's consistently had your number, always beaten you in the playoffs, can't beat them. 0-3 against them possibly in the playoffs if they lose again here. You got to think Buffalo is just dialed in for this matchup. I mean, I'm not saying the Chiefs aren't, but you got to think it from both sides of the field, right? Like, is there any sort of this Buffalo team will be different than the team that we saw on December 10th?
Yeah, I know that Ron was just on here with us, and he kind of alluded to the fact that the Chiefs are playing with house money, but I actually think Buffalo is playing a little bit looser than they were last year. I think last year they had so much expectation, and they dominated all year, and they had that weird scenario with DeMar Hamlin, and it kind of got them off kilter, and then all of a sudden they were just stunned in the postseason where everyone wrote them off this year in the middle of the year. I mean, they really did. We were saying that there's no way with their schedule that they make the postseason. And not only did they make the postseason, but they got the number two seed and won their division. And for a team that pretty much was dead to rights, they're suddenly in a great position to host the reigning champs for sure. But they're in their building, and I just don't think anyone, especially in the middle of the year, gave them any chance to be here. I mean, there was a period where, what were they, 6-6? And we were talking about how Sean McDermott lost the building, and he had these weird comparisons. And
to Al-Qaeda.
Yeah, to Al-Qaeda and all that. And they were a joke, really. They were a joke and dead. Mm-hmm. And now suddenly, no, I think it's all right in front of them. I think there is a little bit of that on both sides. I think a lot of people wrote the Chiefs off. A lot of people wrote the Bills off. But I just sense that they're going to be playing a little bit more loose than they did last year. I think it's different than last year. I mean, if any team has the expectations this year, it's Baltimore to me. Mm-hmm. You were the team that looked the best. Everyone was saying, why are they playing the rest of the games? It's going to be the San Francisco 49ers. Baltimore whooped the 49ers, and now suddenly I think they have a ton of pressure as they welcome in a spicy Houston Texans team. But I think whoever comes out of this game is going to feel like they can do anything. And, that's kind of how I feel about Buffalo. I think they'll be playing loose.
It is weird how the narrative is different from both teams that have the same record, whereas the Chiefs are 11-6, Buffalo went 11-6. And I think it was Nick Wright that had some sort of similar narrative to this where it was like everybody's praising Buffalo.
6'10 alum, Nick Wright.
Right, yeah. Sat in one of these two chairs a while back. But he said something that was crazy that caught my attention where Buffalo's 11-6. Because I'm still, and I know this is a side conversation, like, did they really, like, storm or, like, steamroll to win that division? Or did Miami just, like, choke?
A little bit of both.
Yeah. Like, a Miami just, like.
It's not like
Miami's Buffalo, final three losses, right, were Baltimore blown out.
Yeah.
Buffalo blew it. Kansas City blown out. All three contending teams, it basically showed that they are not welcome in this upper echelon. So a little bit of me is like, you know, did Buffalo really like steamroll through? I mean, I know one game they won, Josh Allen had 94 yards passing and then had a great quote where he said, I feel like the kid in the project that didn't do anything but got the A. So I look at that, but like Buffalo's 11-6 and people are all of a sudden, you know, I've heard voices and I've been kind of in there that like, maybe this is the team that you don't want to play. Maybe this is a team that's, you know, playing with house money, nothing to lose. It's this year, no year. And then the narrative with the Chiefs is, this team's down. This team is not the same Chiefs team anymore. But when you look at it, they're 11-6. They won their division and they just steamrolled the Miami Dolphins, who apparently had one of the best, if not the best offenses in the league. And they really, really deflated that offense to a minimum, like 1 of 12 on third down, 158 total yards where they averaged 400 a game. Like, I don't know what side you lean on more when it comes to the narrative.
Yeah. I just think I'm not trying to super defend the Bills here, but I just think, They were done. I mean, they were 6-6 entering their bye week, coming off a loss against the Philadelphia Eagles. And granted, every game has not been steamrolling every team, but they found a way to do it against the Chiefs. I know that the Chiefs shot themselves in the foot with Kadarius Toney,
and blew that game. But, I mean, the Bills would have got the ball back. Who knows what happens, even if that does stand. They rolled over the Cowboys 31-10. Close call against the Chargers. I know a lot of people point to that. Close call in a game with the New England Patriots. People point to that. But then they won a winner-takes-the-two-seed game against the Miami Dolphins 21-14. We're able to get it done against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and now all of a sudden, you know, granted, it wasn't domination every single game, but they've won six games in a row, and they've been playing more or less in the playoffs, quote-unquote, for 6 weeks running. They've had to win every game, and so they remind me a lot of the Chiefs in their championship years where something changed, and all of a sudden you became that team that would find ways to win when maybe you weren't supposed to. And the Chiefs will be trying to curb that. I mean, they got to be playing with a lot of confidence right now. Again, they haven't lost since their week 13 bye week. And I think they have that on their side. But what Kansas City has on its side is the best defense, if not one of the best defenses in the league. And it's, can you handle Josh Allen, who I think is going to be playing with a lot of steam here, and they've proven they can handle anybody thus far. It's just got to continue on till Sunday.
We talk about rivalries renewed. Obviously, Cincinnati, I think, would say the number one in the Kansas City mindset. But this seems like we're going back a chapter and rereading it, because this is Buffalo, Kansas City, Sean McDermott, Andy Reid, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. Obviously, there's been some historic matchups between these two, and now Buffalo finally gets it on their turf. I know that temperatures are, what, 25, going to feel like 18, whatever. It's not going to rain, snow, whatever. They're not going to postpone this game for any reason. But no-excuse game, right? This is the no-excuse game for Buffalo. Like, it's finally in your yard. You can finally do things you want to do. You finally get the Chiefs to come to your house. Patrick Mahomes, his first game on the road in the playoffs, it doesn't count for a Super Bowl. Do you believe that this Chiefs offense is legit? I mean, we had Cincinnati game where it looked like, you know, when they put those drives together, they use Isaiah Pacheco, it opened up Rashee Rice, got Travis Kelce ball again against Miami, opening drive, pass, right out of the chute, right? And then Kelce gets a third down conversion, and then it was like the floodgates were open, and that offense seemed to be kicking. Now, again, you still said questions in the red zone, but again, Buffalo just beat a Pittsburgh team with Mason Rudolph and no TJ Watt, and the Chiefs beat a Miami Dolphins team. Yes, the temperatures were negative 30, but they had Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Tua Tagovailoa, Raheem Mostert, and Devon Achane. So again, where do you put this matchup going into Sunday?
Yeah, I think the Chiefs have found a method to do enough offensively. I think staring us right in the face is the middle of the Dolphins defense was gone injury-wise. I mean, they signed three guys off the street. You know, they ended up losing a lot of key players in the middle there. And you got into the red zone six times, and you were able to only score touchdowns twice. I know what Miami did in the minus 30 degree weather against Kansas City's defense. I tend to think Buffalo is going to have a little bit more success. Maybe that isn't 30 points, but maybe it's, you know, in the realm of 21-24. And, you know, can Kansas City score enough points to get it done? You know, I think they were fortunate to be within field goal range last game. But I think you still have to push through and score some more touchdowns, especially as you get to this round, because I think Buffalo's going to score. I think Baltimore's going to score. If you are able to make it past the AFC title game, I think whoever comes out of the NFC is going to be able to score. You're not going to be able to win a championship 2 of 6 in the red zone. You're not, especially with all those injuries. And so prove it, right? Just like anything else, right? You got to prove it this weekend. And it's not to say if Kansas City continues to lean into Rice, Pacheco, and Kelce, they can't score in the realm of 24, 28 points, but we got to see it. We have to see it, because the Miami Dolphins, with all those injuries, managed to keep themselves in the game, and then eventually Harrison Butker kicked enough field goals where it was okay. But I just don't think that method is going to be able to sustain as you get to these better and better teams as you go.
Coming up at 7, it's that betting show with Alex Goldie, co-host of Cody and Gold from 10 to 2.
Goldilocks. A lot of Goldilocks.
A lot of Goldilocks, man. A lot of bets coming up for
those
the divisional round.
Just right. You know what I mean?
They're gonna be really good.
Not too hot, not too cold.
Very much so. But before we do that, we get to do Yo Pete, your Yo Arrowhead Pete. Pride mailbag on the other side. For Blake, for Pete, I'm Dusty. This is Arrowhead Pride Radio on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to Arrowhead Pride Radio with Pete Sweeney and Dusty Likens on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
I'm a big believer that there are certain songs that you hear, and no matter what you're doing, you could have just stubbed your toe from hell and back. You're not mad about it. I feel like this is one of those songs that, like, as soon as you hear that guitar riff, you're like, you know what? This is a good song.
You stubbed your toe recently?
Oh, every day, dude.
I did yesterday. Oh. And I'm telling you, I don't know if there was a song that could have played that would have made me feel good there.
Was it on the ottoman or on the corner of your couch?
I ordered a new recliner online, and I was building it. I dropped it on my foot.
Oh, that's not stubbing your toe.
Yeah,
that's dropping something on your foot.
Same thing.
Not really.
Yeah.
Dropping something on your foot, you have a little bit of anticipation. Stubbing your toe, it comes out of nowhere, and you say, like, funky butt loving out of nowhere.
I wouldn't say that.
I have I make my bed every morning.
No, you don't.
I swear to you, I do.
No, you don't.
I can give you my entire routine every morning. Julio doesn't believe me either, but it's the same routine every morning. But there's these, like...
What, are you in the military?
That's what everyone says, but no, absolutely not. If I was in the military, I can see
your beard right now. What? Can't have a beard in the military, right? Don't you have to be clean shaven?
I don't know. That's how you know I'm not in the military. I have no idea what military rules are, but I respect them. Praise be to them.
Well, the first rule of the military is make your bed, so you know one of them.
Okay. But there's like these little like platforms in the middle of my bed. I know they're there. I know they're there. Mm-hmm. And I get the pinky on the right foot twice a week. Yeah. And luckily, there's enough space between my house and other houses. Yeah. That you can't, but I mean, it is the F word. You're the possible, like, hard.
You're the rat in the maze that would end up crashing their head too many times into the wall.
I mean, I'll accept that.
You wouldn't be able to find the cheese.
That's fine. I still haven't found the cheese.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that I've found Arrowhead Pride Radio for 3 years in a row. Yeah. So far, the boss at Arrowhead Pride has
and
not,
counting.
Yeah.
Who's to say we're not going to do it together next year?
Who knows, man? Who knows? I might get way too famous. I really, really want to. Anyways, I'm just kidding.
Oh, my goodness.
But Buffalo Bills, man.
Yeah.
Right? The team before Cincinnati. The 13-second game. The AFC Championship game where Josh Allen showed his ass and started a fight in the middle of the field. And then here we are, a third time in a fourth year. And I want to bring this up, right? Chiefs are kind of playing the role of Cincinnati that Cincinnati played last year, right? Now, granted, Kansas City has not been to Buffalo since 1994, I believe, in the playoffs. And this is a team that's consistently had your number, always beaten you in the playoffs, can't beat them, 0-3 against them possibly in the playoffs if they lose again here. You got to think Buffalo is just dialed in for this matchup. I mean, I'm not saying the Chiefs aren't, but you got to think it from both sides of the field, right? Like, is there any sort of this Buffalo team will be different than the team that we saw on December 10th?
Yeah, I know that Ron was just on here with us, and he kind of alluded to the fact that the Chiefs are playing with house money, but I actually think Buffalo is playing a little bit looser than they were last year. I think last year they had so much expectation, and they dominated all year, and they had that weird scenario with DeMar Hamlin, and it kind of got them off kilter, and then all of a sudden they were just stunned in the postseason, where everyone wrote them off this year in the middle of the year. I mean, they really did. We were saying that there's no way with their schedule that they make the postseason. And not only did they make the postseason, but they got the number two seed and won their division. And for a team that pretty much was dead to rights, they're suddenly in a great position to host the reigning champs, for sure, but they're in their building, and I just don't think anyone, especially in the middle of the year, gave them any chance to be here. I mean, there was a period where, what were they, 6-6? And we were talking about how Sean McDermott lost the building, and he had these weird comparisons.
To Al-Qaeda.
Yeah, to Al-Qaeda and all that. And they were a joke, really. They were a joke and dead. Mm-hmm. And now suddenly, no, I think it's all right in front of them. I think they're... is a little bit of that on both sides. I think a lot of people wrote the Chiefs off, a lot of people wrote the Bills off. But I just sense that they're going to be playing a little bit more loose than they did last year. I think it's different than last year. I mean, if any team has the expectations this year, it's Baltimore to me. Mm-hmm. You were the team that looked the best. Everyone was saying, why are they playing the rest of the games? It's going to be the San Francisco 49ers. Baltimore whooped the 49ers, and now suddenly I think they have a ton of pressure as they welcome in a spicy Houston Texans team. But I think whoever comes out of this game is going to feel like they can do anything. And, that's kind of how I feel about Buffalo. I think they'll be playing loose.
It is weird how the narrative is different from both teams that have the same record, whereas the Chiefs are 11-6, Buffalo went 11-6. And I think it was Nick Wright that had some sort of similar narrative to this, where it was like everybody's praising Buffalo.
6'10" alum, Nick Wright.
Right, yeah. Sat in one of these two chairs a while back. But he said something that was crazy that caught my attention, where Buffalo's 11-6. Because I'm still, and I know this is a side conversation, like, did they really, like, storm or, like, steamroll to win that division? Or did Miami just, like, choke?
A little bit of both.
Yeah. Like, a Miami just, like.
It's not like
Miami's
Buffalo,
final three losses, right, were Baltimore blown out.
Yeah.
Buffalo blew it. Kansas City blown out. All three contending teams, it basically showed that they are not welcome in this upper echelon. So a little bit of me is like, you know, did Buffalo really like steamroll through? I mean, I know one game they won, Josh Allen had 94 yards passing and then had a great quote where he said, I feel like the kid in the project that didn't do anything but got the A. So I look at that, but like Buffalo's 11-6 and people are all of a sudden, you know, I've heard voices and I've been kind of in there that like, maybe this is the team that you don't want to play. Maybe this is a team that's, you know, playing with house money, nothing to lose. It's this year, no year. And then the narrative with the Chiefs is, this team's down. This team is not the same Chiefs team anymore. But when you look at it, they're 11-6. They won their division and they just steamrolled the Miami Dolphins, who apparently had one of the best, if not the best, offenses in the league. And they really, really deflated that offense to a minimum, like 1 of 12 on third down, 158 total yards with the average 400 a game. Like, I don't know what side you lean on more when it comes to the narrative.
Yeah, I just think I'm not trying to super defend the Bills here, but I just think they were done. I mean, they were 6-6 entering their bye week, coming off a loss against the Philadelphia Eagles. And granted, every game has not been steamrolling every team, but they found a way to do it against the Chiefs. I know that the Chiefs shot themselves in the foot with Kadarius Toney and blew that game, but I mean, the Bills would have got the ball back. Who knows what happens, even if that does stand. They rolled over the Cowboys 31-10. Close call against the Chargers. I know a lot of people point to that. Close call in a game with the New England Patriots, people point to that. But then they won a winner-takes-the-two-seed game against the Miami Dolphins, 21-14. Were able to get it done against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And now all of a sudden, you know, granted, it wasn't domination every single game, but they've won six games in a row. And they've been playing more or less in the playoffs, quote-unquote, for 6 weeks running. They've had to win every game. And so they remind me a lot of the Chiefs in their championship years, where something changed and all of a sudden you became that team that would find ways to win when maybe you weren't supposed to. And the Chiefs will be trying to curb that. I mean, they got to be playing with a lot of confidence right now. Again, they haven't lost since their week 13 bye week. And I think they have that on their side, but what Kansas City has on its side is the best defense, if not one of the best defenses in the league. And it's, can you handle Josh Allen, who I think is going to be playing with a lot of steam here, and they've proven they can handle anybody thus far. It's just got to continue on until Sunday.
We talk about rivalries renewed. Obviously, Cincinnati, I think, would say the number one in the Kansas City mindset. But this seems like we're going back a chapter and rereading it, because this is Buffalo, Kansas City, Sean McDermott, Andy Reid, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. Obviously, there's been some historic matchups between these two, and now Buffalo finally gets it on their turf. I know that temperatures are, 25, going to feel like 18, whatever. It's not going to rain, snow, whatever. They're not going to postpone this game for any reason. But no excuse game, right? This is the no excuse game for Buffalo. Like, it's finally in your yard. You can finally do things you want to do. You finally get the Chiefs to come to your house. Patrick Mahomes, his first game on the road in the playoffs, it doesn't count for a Super Bowl. Do you believe that this Chiefs offense is legit? I mean, we had Cincinnati game where it looked like, you know, when they put those drives together, they use Isaiah Pacheco, it opened up Rashee Rice, got Travis Kelce ball again against Miami, opening drive, pass right out of the chute, right? And then Kelce gets a third down conversion, and then it was like the floodgates were open, and that offense seemed to be kicking. Now, again, you still said questions in the red zone, but again, Buffalo just beat a Pittsburgh team with Mason Rudolph and no TJ Watt, and the Chiefs beat a Miami Dolphins team. Yes, the temperatures were negative 30, but they had Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Tua Tagovailoa, Raheem Mostert, and Devon Achane. So again, where do you put this matchup going into Sunday?
Yeah, I think the Chiefs have found a method to do enough offensively. I think staring us right in the face is the middle of the Dolphins' defense was gone injury-wise. I mean, they signed three guys off the street. You know, they ended up losing a lot of key players in the middle there. And you got into the red zone six times, and you were able to only score touchdowns twice. I know what Miami did in the minus 30 degree weather against Kansas City's defense. I tend to think Buffalo is going to have a little bit more success. Maybe that isn't 30 points, but maybe it's, you know, in the realm of 21 to 24. And, you know, can Kansas City score enough points to get it done? You know, I think they were fortunate to be within field goal range last game. But I think you still have to push through and score some more touchdowns, especially as you get to this round, because I think Buffalo's going to score. I think Baltimore's going to score. If you are able to make it past the AFC title game, I think whoever comes out of the NFC is going to be able to score. You're not going to be able to win a championship 2 of 6 in the red zone. You're not, especially with all those injuries. And so prove it, right? Just like anything else, right? You got to prove it this weekend. And it's not to say if Kansas City continues to lean into Rice, Pacheco, and Kelsey, they can't score in the realm of 24, 28 points, but we got to see it. We have to see it because the Miami Dolphins, with all those injuries, managed to keep themselves in the game, and then eventually Harrison Butker kicked enough field goals where it was okay. But I just don't think that method is going to be able to sustain as you get to these better and better teams as you go.
Coming up at 7, it's that betting show with Alex Goldie, co-host of Cody and Gold from 10 to 2.
Goldilocks. A lot of Goldilocks.
A lot of Goldilocks, man. A lot of bets coming up for
those
the divisional
are
round.
Be just right. They're you know
be,
what I mean?
They're going to be really good.
Not too hot, not too cold.
Very much so. But before we do that, we get to do Yo Pete, your Arrowhead Pride mailbag on the other side for Blake, for Pete. I'm Dusty. This is Arrowhead Pride Radio on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to Arrowhead Pride Radio with Pete Sweeney and Dusty Likens on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
All right, we're back here on Arrowhead Pride Radio with the gents in the house, Blake, Pete, and myself, Dusty Likens. Coming up next, Alex Gold for that betting show, but we do this every single week. Every single week, because we simply have to, because it's simply too good. It's the Arrowhead Pride mailbag. Yo, Pete, 913-586-7610.
Every week, send us your questions on Twitter at Arrowhead Pride and at 610 Sports KC. Now it's time for the mail.
Yo, Big Pete from the 816. Where is Patrick Mahomes' broken helmet? Can we get it for an auction, or will it be in the Chiefs or NFL Hall of Fame? Yo, Pete.
Yeah, Patrick just talked about this today. He is adamant that he gets the helmet back. I think it's currently with the training staff or whatever, but he wants to keep that. I think he's probably going to put it somewhere in his house, but I'd imagine that he's going to get a call from the Pro Football Hall of Fame to get it in some kind of exhibit there at some point. I mean, I think that's where it eventually ends up. But right now, Pat just wants it. So,
yeah.
And as we've seen, you know, from Whataburger forward, typically in Kansas City, what Patrick wants, Patrick seems to get. So I think he can get his own helmet, right?
Yeah. I mean, I assume they're probably going to go test it in the lab and they'll be like, all right, you can have it back. Nothing for us.
Right.
From the 913, Yo Pete. I bought the Grim Reaper Mahomes shirt after the 13-second comeback in 2021. They would then go on to lose to the Bengals the next day after I got it. Is the mojo restored, and can I rock it for the game on Sunday? Yo, Pete.
Yeah, you can rock it.
Wash it twice on cold.
I think that this is the only time you could wear that shirt. I know a lot of people did the same thing and were disappointed because it kind of lost a ton of necessary steam when they didn't win the Super Bowl afterward. Could have been a nickname that he had forever. If they had continued on, but didn't happen. But you can wear it this weekend. I think this is the only weekend that it would make sense.
Go ahead.
Looks like we got a shout-out request.
Go ahead.
From a 14-year-old listener.
Let's go.
Laura Lee? You think I'm pronouncing that right? Shout-out to Lorelei.
L-E-I.
Lorelei or Laura Lee?
Laura Lee. 14-year-old listener. Man, we get them all. We got Bryson, the 13-year-old. Laura Lee, the 14-year-old. And someone obviously knows that from the 75 that the helmet company is evaluating it. So there you go. Speaking of, Yo Pete from the 913, if the Chiefs needed one other receiver to step up and make a big play when needed, besides Rice, who would you go with out of Watson, MVS, or Mecole Hardman? From the 913, Yo Pete.
Well, Mecole Hardman downfield seems to be out of sync with Patrick Mahomes. You would think Justin Watson, he seems to be who's the most trusted. Last year, Marquez Valdes-Scantling had himself a hell of an AFC title game. So he can put in one more playoff performance like that. I think he would be forgiven. I don't think there's any scenario in which he comes back, but maybe he's got one more game in him where he could be productive. That'd be nice, right?
Mm-hmm. I hope.
Finish up with a bang.
He did catch a really big third down pass. I was like, start with baby steps, man. You caught that third down pass. I stood up. I applauded.
Right.
Had that Miller Lite. Cheers. Even said, Clyde, now get your ass out of the game.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire proved this year toward the end that you can come back.
Yep.
Because he gained a lot of fans back.
He had a really good game in Buffalo the last time they played there.
He did.
Yo, Pete from the 720, do you think the D should keep a spy on Josh Allen at all times instead of double-teaming Diggs like they have in the past? ? Yo, Pete from the 720.
Yeah, I think that's the plan ahead. What L'Jarius Sneed has provided for you here is just an ultimate advantage of you being able to focus on other problems that opposing offenses might give you because you don't have to worry about that number one pass catcher as much as you would have if you didn't have Sneed on the team. And so Josh Allen is going to try to run, and that is something that everybody knows. Mm-hmm. And so you just can't let him have the 55, 56-yarder that Pittsburgh allowed, with the touchdown. He can go all the way, and so, you got to watch him all game, yeah.
Yo, Pete, this is G-Baby, and I'm not sure if I heard you right when you was on with C-Dot. Did you change your pick, or are you still riding with the Buffalo Bills? Because if so, we can't be friends until next year. Yo, Pete, 913 from G-Baby.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest with you guys. I'm always honest here. I think you got a coin flip on your hands here. I think you play this game.
Oh, we got a two-face game.
Yeah, I think you play this game 10 times. The Bills win 5, the Chiefs win 5, and so probably leaning a little bit closer to Buffalo just because they're home, but I think this is as evenly matched as it gets. If you're not a fan of either team, I think you're going to really enjoy this game because I think it has classic written on it.
Seems like a cigarette type of game. Like after it's over, you're going to be like,
yeah. Right.
Either Christmas.
Either way, you're going to be very happy and relieved or extremely upset and stressed. So either way, that calls for a cigarette, right? Right, Dusty?
That's right. Yo, Pete from the 816. What's your dog's name? ? Is that too much information?
No, I'll provide the dog's name. It is Sullivan.
Sullivan. Like from Sully. Monsters Incorporated?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the movie?
He goes by Sully.
That's what he goes by in Monsters Incorporated.
Yeah, I guess so then. Yeah.
Mike and Sully. Mike Wazowski.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You've never seen it, have you?
No, I've seen it.
No, you haven't.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Have you seen Monsters University?
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Yeah. Love Monsters, Inc. University.
Always watching Wazowski. Dan and KCK chimes in. Yo, Pete, Kelsey should have a good game. Bills, linebackers, and Pacheco should have a thriving moment on there for Isaiah Pacheco over the ground and pound. Chiefs, Steve, Bills.
It's not a question.
Should be a great game. I don't know. He says it's basically an answer.
Well, thanks for your weighing in, Dan.
Dan and KCK.
Great to hear from you, as usual.
And they, she has sent you the pronunciation of her name.
Lorelei.
Lorelei.
Lorelei. It's all caps, too. Shout out to Lorelei.
From the 913. Hi, Pete.
Yeah.
You consider getting a cat?
We have two cats.
Oh, my God. What are you, Dr. Doolittle?
We're petted
out. You got a fish, too, and a rabbit?
No. Dog and two cats, that's enough.
Oof.
My girlfriend / roommate checks the KC Pet Project all the time.
Perfect.
Great place.
What a saint.
But we're maxed out. There's, we have no more room in the inn. That's how it is right now.
I'd say the Arrow Pride mailbag for you.
Find some wise men. You know what I mean?
Yep. I hope we have another. Do you do the litter boxes or does she?
She does it mostly. We do. So I do it sometimes.
Ugh.
It's tough.
You do it.
Yeah. Mm. It is.
It's like making little rice cakes in there. Mm-hmm. So what's on the dinner menu tonight? What's going on the rest of the time for Arrowhead Pride Radio until Sunday?
Yeah, I think we're eating tacos again. And
nice.
We will keep you updated with the injuries. We know about the injuries for Buffalo, and they're worth monitoring because no matter what, I could say this with a absolute certainty here, Buffalo is going to be missing a key piece or two at least. And so we'll keep you updated at Arrowhead Pride, the usual. We'll have the coordinators tomorrow, and our Ron Kopp, who you heard earlier, thank you to him. He'll have his 5 things to watch coming at the end of the week, but should be fun. I want to add, if you want to subscribe to our newsletter, arrowheadpride.com/subscribe. Good
bang,
stuff.
Bang, bang.
Hanging out there. In the premium world, if you're interested in that.
All right. That's Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride, the chief editor at Arrowhead Pride. Blake, thanks for all your work. Thanks to Ron Kopp Jr., the lead film analyst, for joining the show. Coming up next, it's Alex Gold's That Betting Show, the Goldilocks, and all the good stuff moving forward.
And kudos to you, Dustin.
What's up?
Just in the dating part of your life right now. Heating up. I'd like to hear it.
You can't keep me down forever. I'm Dusty Liken. That's Pete Sweeney. Alex Gold on the other side. Listen to 610 Sports Radio. Have a good night, Kansas City. I love you.